In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. Amen. I'm getting in the habit of taking early morning walks around Hermosa Beach. It's a way I'm familiarizing myself with the community, and it's always really lovely to just walk and take a look at the ocean. And on my morning walks this week, I was also mulling over this Sunday's readings, which are the type that make you sit up a bit straighter in your pew. As I walked out onto the pier, I saw a huge sign that said, "Beware of rip currents." Maybe you've seen it as well. It has an illustration with four different arrows and the word "escape" in all caps, illustrating that you can free yourself from the riptide by swimming parallel to the shore. I'm sure many of you surfers out there can instruct me way more about this. But since the word "beware" was already rolling around in my consciousness from Mark's gospel, the warning caught my attention in a different way. I stood on the pier staring at this big, scary sign. And it was one of those beautiful, clear fall mornings we've had with placid ocean waters and a few surfers out enjoying the waves. And it was hard to reconcile the urgency and the doom of the big poster on the pier with the beauty all around me. This may have been how the disciples felt at hearing Jesus' own "beware." Looking around at the beautiful temple, they may have had a hard time imagining a crisis. And yet Jesus says that everything there will be thrown down. To the disciples, this was the equivalent of saying that the world would end, because the temple was the North Star. It was the center of gravity, which is why the conversation then turns towards other impending conflicts. Jesus' words are like the warning on the pier. They're disconcerting. And Jesus is cautioning his disciples to look beneath the surface and advising them to pay attention. Why does Jesus plunge the disciples into a description of catastrophic downfall in response to their innocent observation about the beauty of their surroundings? It helps to understand that Jesus' words don't come in a vacuum. They're influenced by a form of writing called apocalyptic literature, which is thousands of years old. Our reading from Daniel is one such example. And it's a type of writing whose goal is to reveal divine perspective on things that are otherwise hidden. One scholar observes that it's a product of hope and despair, hope in the eternal power of God and despair over the present evil conditions of the world. And it almost always describes circumstances in dire and drastic terms and calls attention to how God brings rebirth out of destruction. As we move towards the end of our liturgical year and into Advent, our lectionary readings always veer into the apocalyptic as a way of calling us to think about endings and beginnings alike. As grim as they are, these writings remind us that people of faith have been struggling with how God relates to current events for millennia. In Mark's gospel, Jesus' words are apocalyptic, but he also gives his disciples guidance on how to navigate currents of pessimism and fear and to not lose their bearings. Jesus did not want his disciples to be unaware of the power struggles unfolding around them. Because without awareness, you can get pulled into things that hold out false hope for security. Jesus' words are a riptide warning. We may not like being reminded of the uncertainty around us, but the warnings exist so we don't panic and so that we engage the currents of our world with intent and with wisdom. And so we're called to be aware of how uncertainty ignites our fear and to be aware of the ways that some will play on those fears. In Jesus' time, people were angry with Rome's oppression, and there were those who built up people's hopes for a false Messiah and led them into violent revolts. And Jesus speaks with a canny realism about how the world uses power. It reminds me of Jesus' caution elsewhere to his disciples to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Or to put it in surfing terms, to be a keen observer of the tides. How are we to respond to texts like this one? They've often been used to inappropriately predict the future, or they've been superimposed on current events in a way that is neither truthful nor spiritually helpful. So first, from texts like this, we can be assured that Jesus is a good guide who calls us to not be reactive and to ground ourselves in an ethos of love that is discerning about how the world works. Jesus is always clear-sighted about the nature of power, and he's coaching us to understand the currents so that we know how to navigate them. He's cautioning us to understand how the world in which we live uses power. He says nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Jesus says this as he is on the journey to the cross, where he will seemingly succumb to the world's power in defeat while ultimately breaking death's hold on humanity. And like Jesus, we are called to understand the currents so that we can be intentional about who we listen to and what forms us and where we put our energy. Jesus' words also call us to be discerning. They remind us that Jesus is no stranger to political conflicts and polarized times, nor is the church. He calls people of faith to be unfazed by this and to respond by deepening our awareness of our own inner riptides and our own fears. Being aware means that as people of faith, we're not surprised by a world that contains both beauty and tragedy, virtue and corruption. Because when we are conscious of this, we can make intentional choices to love with wisdom and grace and courage. We can choose to swim parallel to the shore. This week, I invite you to think about these questions. What are the currents that pull you off course? What becomes all-encompassing in a way that pulls you from grounding yourself in God's love and God's strength? Yes, we can talk about the political landscape at present. However you voted, feelings are intense, and the capacity to demonize the other is high. But other things can pull us off course right now as well. Our jobs, our worries about our families, our health, or our future, or any kind of uncertainty. In these moments, be aware. Make God part of the conversation. Place your fear into the hands of the one who is our refuge and our strength, and take things a day at a time. Because Jesus faithfully helps us navigate the currents of our world and promises us that nothing can separate us from his love.